something about the word that's uplifting. Amen? I want you to know it's nothing too hard for God. A lot of times in our own mind, we create difficulties for God and thinking that maybe this is the way God wants it to be. But I want you to know that God is a good God, and there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing that he can't do. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Think about that. Is there anything? Is there anything impossible with God? Scripture says all things are possible. Yet we get our mind into thinking in a realm of impossibilities. We do that with all kinds of things. We do it with our own businesses, our relationships, our children. We do it with our finances. We do it with our health. We start thinking in terms, well, this is maybe the way God wants it. I'm going to ask you again, do you believe there's anything too hard for him? There's nothing too hard for him. But the word of God has to be used. We have to use the word. We have to allow the word of God to flow in us. It has to be something that we not just running through the word and trying to find it. It has to be, it's very clear, it says, if you believe as the scripture had said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. How many want to bring some life? Maybe you had a tough week this past week and you want to bring some life to it. Well, it's only going to happen through the word. There has to be a washing of water by the word of God. And we're going to look at that. I want to clear up a couple of things that I think is misunderstood about the word. The word is not just, when you hear somebody say the word of God, they're not talking about just the 66 books that's in the Bible. It's talking about context in the Bible. And it identifies that. So throughout Scripture, we're going to look at, see some of these, especially today. I'm going to be talking to you about kingdom seeds. We're going to look at this very important. There's a lot of things talked about seed that you see all around in our Christian world today. But I can assure you it's completely out of its context. But I'm going to deal with you today in the Scripture concerning seeds, talking about the seed of God and how we should look at it. And we have good examples. It's not that I don't think that the word is written to confuse anyone. But where the confusion comes in is when we take the word of God and we try to apply it in a way that God never intended for it to be applied. And you can do that with anything. If you picked any type of doctrine, you could go through the scripture because it's so vast and you can find something in there that would probably support what people think. You'll find one, maybe two places. But the overall scope of the scripture don't support it. And so how do we gauge these things? We gauge them by the overall scope of scripture, not just a verse here and there. And the danger I see in that is it's incredible what it's doing in the Christian world today. It's incredible the damage that it's doing when we select a verse here or there and we try to build some doctrine. It's very critical that we look at the whole of scripture. Remember we talked about this on Thursday night. On Thursday, we was talking about in Revelations dealing with the subject of understanding these principles, understanding the things of God, looking at how Revelation is written, and knowing that when you interpret Revelations, when you're looking at it, you got to do it with the whole of Scripture in mind. Revelations is what book in the 66 books that was given to the church? What book is it? The last one. So you can't understand it without looking at the first, all of the books before it. So you look at the whole of Scripture. Another thing I want to make clear to you as we get started today is that when the apostles were commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they didn't have the gospel that we have. They didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament and the things that they witnessed. And those things didn't come into writing until much later. They had none, listen to me carefully, they had none of the Apostle Paul's writings. None. Yet they preach the gospel. How in the world do they do that? So you have to take these things in consideration. The gospel didn't come on later when Paul wrote. He didn't create the gospel. His writings were highlighting, illuminating what had already been written. Do you understand that? But folks will take stuff that Paul wrote and leave the rest behind. It's crazy thinking. We should never think like that. We have the whole of Scripture. If it's truth, why are we afraid? There should be no fear at all when studying the Scripture. No matter what setting we're in, what church we're in, what denomination we choose to put over our name, if it's the truth, why would we fear going into Scripture? The only reason fear should come up is if you're not sure that what you're saying is true. And so we ought to be, it ought to be revealed what we teach, what we preach, what we believe. You ought to ask some questions. Where did it come from? How is this? So we're gonna go through this. And I know we've had some kingdom messages not long ago, but we need more of them. So if I stopped today and I asked you to, without your Bible, without the assistance of your Bible, just out of memory, to write me an essay about the kingdom of God, how many would think that would be somewhat difficult? Maybe to some of you, impossible. I don't know. But it would be difficult to explain in a lot of the details. That's why we go over them over and over and over and over and over again. And that's what the disciples did. They preached about the kingdom. And then we're going to talk about that. So we want to take a close look at this. If you have your Bibles, let's get started. We'll kind of set something up here, and that'll bring us into the next couple of Sundays, okay? So we want to really set something up. Then sowing the seed of the word is what we're going to focus on. Sowing the seed of the word. How many know that that's our job? You don't become a Christian to survive. Let me understand that. Our job is to sow the seed of the word. Now, take it. I want to explain to you today what the word is. The word is the gospel about the kingdom. And that's a foreign thing. When I first started this over a year ago, we started talking about this, you'd be shocked at how your faces look sometimes. Because it's foreign to a lot of people, and it shouldn't be. Listen, this should be stuff that you learn in elementary. This is the elementary things about the things of God. This is primary. This is beginning. We're just getting started. When you understand the things about the kingdom of God. But when you say it, it sounds strange to speak these words in most church settings. And that is absolutely crazy. It ought to be the highlight, the thing that you understand most about your relationship to God is that God's kingdom's coming. Should be the foremost thing that we understand. God's kingdom's coming. And it's foreign to so many people, and it shouldn't be. So we're going to take a look at this. And I remind myself when I go back over these things, we should gain more understanding, more wisdom, more revelation. You never quit reading and studying the Bible. You should always be reading and studying the Scripture. You gotta pound this stuff in you. I mean, you got to force the word. Just get it inside of you. You never know when you're going to need to speak these oracles of truth. And they have to be readily and available in something that's a part of who you are. I can assure you, if we gauge the knowledge of people, you know, what you're knowledgeable in, what's something that you can talk about. Most people would go back to their education. They'll go back to their occupation. a lot of times. And you talk about their occupation. So if you get two fishermen together, what are they generally going to talk about? Computers? No. They're not going to talk about computers because that's not what they're educated in. You get two fishermen together, what are they going to talk about? Fishing, because that's what they're educated in. And they know it. So they'll start talking, and you can have a guy there that's not educated in fishing, but he's smart in computers. Does that make him dumb? No, he's educated in what he knows. But he can be listening to these two guys talk about going here and there, and I'm going over there, like, you know, we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to go to Taylor's Point and we're going to fish on the corner just inside where that barge is. You know what I'm talking about. And the other guy says, oh, yeah, I know exactly where the computer guy is going to go. He's going to go, what in the world they just said? Because it's foreign to him. How many understand my point? Christians, the Word of God shouldn't be foreign to us. So if we start talking in a conversation about God's kingdom, we can relate on some things because we understand the kingdom of God. If we start talking about healing, we ought to be able to relate on those subjects because we understand healing. Do you understand this? You understand my point that we got to get into the Word of God. We got to start studying like we've never studied before. So when you talk about the kingdom and sowing the seed of the word, we got to know what that means. And so we want to take a look. We're going to be in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'll have most of these slides up today, but I won't have everything up. But Acts chapter 8, we're going to start there and just hold your spot. But I got a lot of other reading that we're going to do, but I got most of this on slides. So you hold your spot. In other words, we're going to go through Acts, the book of Acts. What is the Acts? It's the Acts of who? The Acts of the disciples, the apostles. It's their Acts. It's what they did. And it's recorded for us so we can understand it. So we're going to go through that and see what they did. What were they doing? Because let me tell you, they evangelized and preached the gospel to the known world in their time. They did a fantastic job. And we want to see what they were doing. How were they doing this? What were they out doing? So how many want to take part in this? Remember, come into church. And this is I want to clear this up. Come into church. For years and years and years, people thought I'm coming because I don't want to miss God. Wrong answer. That's not why you come to church. You come and you believe the message of the kingdom. And then you become a viable part of spreading that good news to the world that doesn't know that. Not to come and be safe. How many times you've heard me say this? The game's not over. It's not over. You don't come, I'm going to church so I can start to get my life right. Wrong answer. That's not why we come. We come because somebody told us about the gospel, explained to us the overall scope of the scripture, and we believe that to be a fact over anything else that is out there. So I'm here because it's my responsibility to congregate together, assemble together, and to learn so I can then go out and preach that good news that I believe. How many ever believed in something strongly? And you was able to study about what you believed in and explain what you believed in to someone else. And you could just spit it out because you went over it so many times, you could explain it to them. And that's very important. It's very important that you, if you're going to explain something to somebody and get them to understand it, first of all, you got to know about it. And if you, the more you know about it, the more knowledgeable you are about it, the better you can explain it to those who have no understanding in it. And that's what the disciples did very well. When they went into a town, they explained to them, well, this is what message, this is what we're telling. Now, did people that they explained it to hear about Jesus when he was alive on this earth? Sure they did. They heard about Jesus. But they needed to be preached to about the kingdom and the gospels. And so this is very important. Amen? So we want to look at these things. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Hold your spot in Acts. Because we're going to, that's kind of where we're going to start going through. But Mark chapter number 4. We want to read something, some verses here. Mark 4, 26 through 34. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it's sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. So when he spoke in the public, how did he speak? In parables. When he spoke in private, how did he speak? He spoke plainly. Now, there's a reason behind that, but I want you to get this whole point behind what he's doing here. Now, I want you to see these things. So he's telling us that the seed and the kingdom, there's something about that. So when we look at it, the seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. And we know that the word that God is declaring that's spoken is the speak about the kingdom of God. The word refers to the message of the kingdom. The word refers to the message of the kingdom. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we'll start with verse number 1. It says, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, And the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. We look at these parables and we hear so many different messages on them. I've preached different messages on these parables, but today I want you to look at it where it sits, in its context. It says that the sower went out to sow. And I noticed something different about this reading as I begin to go through this. And I've been going over this for quite some time now. But the sower was not selective in where he sowed. That's something I noticed that I'd noticed before. So it was always made to sound like the sower sows the seed, and somehow his intention when he sows it is that it's always being sown on good ground. But let's not forget, the sower sows the seed. And what I notice here, that the sower is not selective on where he sows the seed. He just his job is to do one thing, and what is that? Sow the seed. See, we're quick to want to jump on the evangelism bandwagon when things going good. In other words, people are really wanting to hear, and they're really wanting to receive. But that's not our job is to sow the seed. Don't be selective on where you sow it. What does he commission us to do? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. And what does the seed represent again? The seed is the word which is in direct reference to the kingdom of God. The seed of about the kingdom. Remember we read it in Mark. Mark's account, the seed is the word, it's about the kingdom of God. So we can't be selective. Say, well, you know, I'll just share it here because this is good soil. This is on good ground. But most of the times you'll hear a message with this reference, you'll hear it talking about finances. Most of the messages dealing with this is talking about finances. And you got to sow your seed of your finances on good ground. We're good ground. So what does that mean that everybody else says? They got to be the other three. By the wayside, among thorns, you understand? But that's not what he's talking about here. This absolutely has nothing to do with finances. None whatsoever does it have to do with finances. So I can assure you, if you heard it or hearing it or believing it, it will bring confusion to you if you mix these up. I'm sowing my seed. We're talking about our seed, meaning our finances. I'm sowing mine on good ground. This is good ground over here. And we take that from this text. That's not what the text says. This text is talking about sowing the word, which is the gospel of the kingdom, and not being selective on where you sow it. The sower's job was to do one thing. What was that? Sow the seed. Sow it. So he's going out and he's sowing the seed. Some of the seed he sows falls by the wayside. Is he doing his job? Yes, he's sowing the seed. Some of the seed he sows goes among the thorns. Is he doing his job? Yes, he's doing his job. So when you get out and you preach the gospel of the kingdom, I can assure you, you're going to be, when you're sowing this seed and you're doing what God wants you to do, you got to get your eyes off of what it looks like where the seed's going. Because we'll have a tendency, our tendency is to just lean where we're going to have most benefit. What's our greatest benefit is what I want to do with my time. I don't want to waste my time. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe that the sower was wasting his time when he sowed the seed and some fell by the wayside? Do you really want to go with that answer? That the sower was wasting his time? No, he was doing his job, sowing the seed. Not being selective on where you sow. Because let me tell you, there's about to be a commission. This commission is given. And Jesus is telling them, you're going to have to go into all the world. All the world. And preach the gospel. And there's going to be some places I'm going to send you you're not going to like to go. There are going to be places that they'll hate you. There's going to be places that they'll choke up what you're trying to do. There's going to be places that it don't seem like it's you're wasting your time. But I didn't ask you to go and look at it, examine it, analyze it, run a poll, and then if the poll comes out in your favor, that's where you build a church. He says, is that the way it happens in America? Absolutely, that's how it happens. You better believe that's how it happens. We got to go into an area and check it out first. We got to go and make sure that the soil's good. We're going to make sure that the poll comes back good. We got so many homes, so many people moving in, and we analyze it and we get it all set and good, and then we're ready to go. What about God saying go? What about God saying you go to Buras? What about God saying go to Nepal? Go to Honduras. Go to Costa Rica. Go to Africa. Do you understand what I'm saying? I thank God for people who just hear what God says and go. Go ye into all the world. The sower is not selective. The sower is going to do what God says. He says you're going to sow the seed. We're not looking for, well, this is a good spot. Everything's right. Everything's lined up. It's going to grow. I mean, it's going to be amazing. You got to be careful what you get out of that. You got to be careful when you pull your arm in like that and you put your little seed in. What grows out of that might not be what you want. And so he explains this to us over and over again. We need to know the importance of sowing the seed and spreading the seed. We need to know the importance of sowing the seed and spreading the seed. We need to know that. We need to know the importance of sowing the seed and spreading the seed. Very important. And we're going to look at these things throughout the scriptures. Let's listen to what he says about it. Matthew 13, verse 18. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. So he's going to explain this to us. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what does he call it? What does he call it? We're on the 18th verse here. He said, now I want you to understand, he said, hear then the parable of the sower. So what did the disciples, they had asked him. So what does he do? He says, to them I speak in parable. But what he did privately? What does he do privately? This right here. He's going to tell them privately. They got off by themselves. They're not with the crowd anymore. And he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So what is that seed that's being sown? The word about what? The kingdom. Remember, it's in its context. You can't move that word around. That can't be moved around and put, well, we're going to put that one over here about finances. You can't move it around. It's in its context. You got to leave it right where it's at because he's very specific on what he wants us to be sharing. When we first introduce the kingdom of God, we got to make sure that we're not introducing anything ahead of it. What's the first thing we should share with people when we're witnessing to them? The word of what? The kingdom. The first thing. And then we begin to explain to them. Because there's a lot of details goes with the fact that you and I can share that. We'll talk about that as this series goes on. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Who knows who the evil one is? Satan is the evil one. So there can't be no word playing games here, because Satan is not going to be in no game playing. He's out for one thing, and that's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's out there and he's going to do his job as best he can. He's not in the game playing. And the church can't get into some word play where we can pull this out and that out, move this, take a verse here and there and build something. You got to be careful with that. We got a very specific job here, and that's to sow the seed of the word. We sow that, and that word is the kingdom of God. And he's explaining this to us, and I believe in great detail we see what he's saying. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the what? Word. Immediately he falls away. So why is the persecution and affliction going to come? What's going to cause persecution and affliction to come? The word. Now, did the guy receive it? Yes. That city or whatever it is. And we know that he's going to send them to cities. He sends them to whole cities to preach the kingdom. And the cities receive the word. But then persecution and affliction is going to come. And they're going to challenge them. Do you really believe this? If you believe this, we're going to put you to death. So what is the guy that receives it that way, what does he say? Don't put me to death. When I received it at first, I didn't realize you had to go through this. So you recanting, or you taking back your stand and your belief in the kingdom? Yes. He backs out. Is there anyone here going to take that approach? Because see, the sower can't say, well, I'm only sowing seed on good ground. You have no idea. The sower is non-selective. You sow. That's what you do. You sow seed. Only time's going to tell where that seed went. And that individual, that person, that town, that community is going to tell on what that seed done. Where did it take root? Is anybody getting this? Verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The worry. Anybody worried? Anybody need some help with worrying? Being afraid, the stuff that goes on. You mean, I don't know what we're going to do. You can tell. You got to gauge yourself. Maybe you don't even realize you are one who worries about things. But you can maybe ask somebody to write down some of the comments you make. Just tell them to write it down. Say, if you wouldn't mind, every now and then. Matter of fact, if you know, husbands, your wives are probably taking notes right now. You don't even know it. So you'll be in good shape. But tell the wife, say, take some notes about what I say. I'll tell your husband, say, hey, if I say something, write it down. Sometimes we get so in a habit of speaking certain ways, we don't even realize what we're even saying. And we don't even realize we're doing damage to our own relationship to God just by the things we say. We speak those negative things all the time over our lives, and we shouldn't do that. We should never speak that away. So maybe you got a circle of friends or whatever. He's got a smartphone. You got a smartphone. Some of the smartphones says you got a circle of friends and you got favorites. You can have favorites. You remember at one time they come out with these favorites and you can only have like five. Now, they figured you get yourself in trouble if somebody gets your phone and go, I ain't in a circle. So now they got like you can make 100, you know. You just, so it doesn't even pay to have it. So you ever notice that? But maybe you can tell those folks, hey, watch what I say. Check out what I'm how I'm speaking. Am I speaking the way I should speak as a believer? Am I saying what I should say? And who would be okay without being offended if somebody says, hey, look at this. I said that? Yeah, you've been saying that for last week. I'm worried. I don't know if it's going to happen for me. Man, it's over for the good guys. That's one of the fishermen's talks. The fishermen say that. Man, it's all over for the good guys. There's two things got to happen after that. You become a bad guy, or you just over. It's over. That's what this, in the sense you're saying. But how many of you know that's not the things that we should speak? But he says he receives it, but the worry. The man worries about the world and about deceitful wealth, and he chokes the word. Just worried about it. How many of you ever had people where they're doing way better than you're doing and it just bothers you? I'm doing everything right. I'm living for the Lord. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm doing this and now I'm paying my tithes. I'm doing all that, but they're getting more and I'm getting less. We got to watch what we say. Because you're worrying about the deceitfulness of wealth. It chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it. Understands it. How many ready to understand this? This is why we're going over this. There's no reason to be here and we don't understand it. That's the biggest issue that people are having trouble with today. They don't understand it because they done heard so much stuff about it. So much stuff that's unnecessary in the kingdom. Unnecessary. We got to understand it. When you understand it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Do you see that? Is everybody going to bring forth the same fruit? How many's got fruit trees in your yard? Some of them do good, some of them not so good, right? Unless you're like my dad, he cuts the ones down that don't do good. I told him just to never know, next year it might do good. He said, I'm cutting that tree down. Whew. Oh, man. But he's getting better. He's going to leave them up, some of them. But he done took some of them out. That tree ain't right. So, you got to be careful.
Yes, got to be very careful.
And sometimes we want to do that with people.
That's it.
If it bears one fruit, leave it alone. Now, if it didn't have any fruit, I'd say cut it down.
Yeah.
I'm on your side. Because that would be Jesus, right? He comes to the tree, it has no fruit. None. So what did he say? There's no sense in having it. But if it's got one. That's all. Listen, one. Just one. Because I'm banking on next year, it'd be two or three. And it won't be long, it'll be in full blossom. And bear much fruit. Do you understand? Remember, some 100. We ain't fooling with that tree, right? We like those. We want all them in our church. But then there's some 60. You know, we still want them. They're help. And 30. Not the behavior of the believer. It's not the behavior. What is the sower's job to do? Sow. Don't be selective. There's no reason. There's no room for that in the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. Listen. You might have to trim more and help more with one person than the other. That's the way it is. But you should work as hard and labor as hard for that one than you do for the 99. You should work as hard as you can for the one. Do you understand that? Is it helping anybody? So when you're going out to sow, don't be selective. You say, I've been trying to deal with them for years. I've been going and witnessing. Do you see? We shouldn't say, somebody's writing that down. Well, you did it, but you complained about 30 minutes before you went. 30 minutes, you rambled on about this and that and that and that. Just sow the seed. That's our job. He said, sow. So it's very important. When we eat fruit, we find the seed in the center of the fruit, right? So where's the seed at? It's right there. It's in the center. God's word is the seed. It must be sown so it can produce fruit. So we have the word of God, the word of the kingdom, but we got to sow the seed so it can then produce fruit. You can know about the kingdom. That doesn't mean that somebody else does. You understand that? You can know it, you can testify about it, you can explain it, but what if somebody else doesn't know that? Are you willing to sit down and take the time necessary to explain that to them? I think it's valuable that we take the time, that it's very important to begin to explain what this is all about. You remember Jesus speaks these words, and I'll have some of these for you next Sunday, but he says that he was sent. The reason he was sent is to preach the gospel of the kingdom, or about the kingdom. For this is the reason I was sent. So I think it's very important. I think it ought to be one of the most important things that you and I grab hold to and let minister to our lives. Very important. And how many want power to do this? God wants to empower us. We want to look at the books of Acts to see how the seed was being sown. Jesus gave the Great Commission. He gave the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Again, we're just setting this up. So I want you to look at these verses and kind of take notes of this. And of course, you can go on. They'll have all this posted for you to look at so you can spend more time studying this. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How many nations? All, not selective. How many know there are non-Christian nations that he's talking about them for them to go to? He's sending them to do something. He said, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. Jesus is already resurrected before he ascends back to the Father. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. "And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." Again, non-selective. You're going to be witnesses. Witnesses are those who are going to evangelize. They're going to go out and share the gospel. What are they going to be sharing about? The kingdom of God. They're going to be sharing the gospel about the kingdom of God. So we know that he calls that the gospel. Remember, all this is being said, still they don't have the epistles of Paul. They ain't even written yet. So there's a lot of information that we have, and they're gonna minister to the known world, yet they don't have the epistles of Paul. What do they talk about? Well, there's a lot of things that they have. They have the Old Testament describing all of this, and they have the encounter that they had personally with Jesus Christ when he was here with them, ministering and living the life that he lived in front of them. They have these examples. And so they're going to do it in Jerusalem, right? That's God's people. Judea, a break off of God's people. Samaria, Samaria's a half Jews and something else. They would be called Samaritans. They're not pure Jews. They're half. So they would be Samaria. So what did the Jews think about the half-breeds? What'd they think about them? They had no dealings with them. They didn't go in business with them. They didn't say hi to them. They didn't go and eat with them. They did nothing. There was a division there. What about Jerusalem and Judea? Did they have any division there? Yes, they did. They were fully Jews, both of them. Did they have separation? Yeah, you had different ones. As a matter of fact, they had so much separation, they put a wall or something, a division, a dividing thing in the church. So what we would do is I'd be the preacher, and we'd separate these chairs about right here. We'd have to get Sister Dawn to slide over just a little bit. And then we put a wall up here. Because those folks over here don't really want to look at y'all. Now, they don't mind listening to me because they got over me already. And y'all over here don't want to look at them, but y'all don't mind listening to me because y'all got over me already. And that's how they had church. Jesus comes and says, "Are you kidding me? You got to be joking." He said, "I'm going to tear down the middle wall of partition that divides you." But he wasn't only speaking of the Jews that did that to one another, but he was speaking of the Gentiles who weren't even allowed to take part in this. So the Samaritans would be Gentile and Jew mixed. That's Samaritans. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus goes out of his way, and there she is. And she was intrigued. She says, "How is it you're speaking with me, seeing that the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans?" And he begins to minister to her. What is his job? To be selective? No, to sow seed. That's his job. What's our job? Be selective? No, just sow seed. So what does he do? He sows the seed in that Samaritan, speaks into her life, encourages her, tells her the truth about her life, reveals things to her that no one knew, and she recognizes that this is a man of God. And then things begin to change in her life. She goes and tells her neighbors and her friends, her family, "Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done." And evangelism started there, but he was in Samaria. In Samaria, where they didn't have any dealings with the Jews. So you see this happening all over, even throughout Jesus' ministry. But he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even," he didn't stop there, "and even to the uttermost parts of the earth." So there's people that you haven't met yet. There's going to be nations you don't even know about yet. You're going to sow the seed. You're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So what's going to trigger the return of Christ? When the gospel of the kingdom has been sown to all the nations. Not our philosophy. We got a lot of philosophy being sown. What happens in a lot of countries, instead of entering into those countries with the Bible and preaching about the kingdom, people enter with their books. One of the Chinese missionaries in China, he made this statement. He said one of the most detrimental things that ever happened to China with the gospel being spread is when the Westerners brought their own books. He said it was the most devastating, brought more confusion to the church than they'd ever seen. They was already up against communism. They had already been facing all these struggles, but he said what hurt them more was when the Western books hit China, it just began to cause great division amongst the people. Crazy for that stuff to happen. So we're not sowing what we think. You're not sowing, "Well, I believe, this is what I believe. You read it your way, I read it my way, this is what I believe." That's not going to work with God. There's not six ways to read it. The Word of God is very plain. And God didn't write this book in some kind of riddle. It's not a riddle. And I can't figure it out. It's very plain. It's very simple stuff. But I think that we've taken it and made it a riddle because we want to use it out of its setting, and it brings a lot of confusion. We need to be careful. So what we're going to get ready to do is we're going to learn how to sow the seed, and you get power to do that. So the Holy Spirit will come on you. You'll be witnesses. And these are very important principles. So now, remember I told you to hold your spot in Acts chapter 8? That's where we're going. Now we're going to get started. So I'm not going to go much longer, just a few more minutes, because we have some stuff I need to do today. But I wanted to set that kind of foundation up for you. And we'll reference these things back and forth as we go through this series. But listen to this. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. What did Philip preach? He preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Does anybody see that? That's a fan. It's, to me, this is amazing that these are simple, simple principles that we have to use as a guide for us when we share in the gospel. And sharing the gospel is not going to your neighbor and saying, hey, you want to come to church with me? That's not sharing the gospel. What you're banking on, they're going to come to church and somehow it's going to get fixed for them there? That's not what we're banking on. Church has been structured the wrong way. We shouldn't be geared up so we marquee people into the door. That's not the... He said, go, go. We don't stay stationary and we marquee people into the door. And hopefully our band's good enough and the preaching's good enough and the excitement, the children's church and all of that is exactly what people want and they stay. It's not how you build a church. But that's what's being taught in our world today. Just build it big. What about building people's lives where they understand that we all have a job to do? And that job is to spread the seed of the word, which is the kingdom of God. And we have to make sure people understand that. We understand those things about the kingdom and what God shares about the kingdom. So but Philip is the evangelist. He's an evangelist. He preaches the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And they were being baptized, men and women alike. Things were happening. Things were moving along. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. He's like, this is unbelievable. And this is the stuff that's happening in Nepal. These village preachers, they'll train them up and send them back to their village. And they'll just go out and they'll spread the gospel of the kingdom. They share the good news about the name of Jesus. And people are being healed. Miracles are taking place and they're following. Their great followings are happening. Amen? I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of people all around the world. Verse 14. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. So what did they hear? What did the apostles hear? They received the word of God. What is the word of God? About the kingdom. Remember, we got to keep it in its setting. Let me ask you something. Did they preach revelations to him with that? Is revelations part of the word of God? Think about it. At that time, see, when you see the word of God in scripture, you got to understand that it's in its setting. It's in its context. They didn't have revelations right here. Revelations is a part of the word of God. There's no doubt about it. We know that. I got it right here. How many's got a Bible with you? Go to the end. Is it there? Yes, yeah, in there. But they didn't have it. What about Ephesians? They didn't have Ephesians, but it's a part of the Word of God. So what did they tell them? They told them what they had at the time because it explains exactly what Jesus declared should be explained about the kingdom. The word is the kingdom message. It's talking about God's kingdom coming. And that's what they shared. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria, remember that, Samaria, half Jew and half Gentile, Samaritans had received the word of God. Who preached to them? Who was the guy that went over there and was non-selective in his sowing? Philip. Philip went there and he spoke. And even Simon, who, you mean Simon gets saved? Yes, he gets saved. He's following him. He's amazed. This is incredible. They received the word of God. They sent Peter and John. So Peter and John sent there, and some things are going to definitely happen. They received the message about the kingdom of God, the seed, which is the word. They received the message about the kingdom of God, the seed, which is the word. And that's what we have to receive. We receive it in its seed form, and then things begin to happen. And we receive that word. There it is. When a sower sowing the seed and some falls by the wayside, did the wayside receive that seed? Yes. See, it's preached to make it sound like it didn't even receive it. What about it when it falls among thorns? Did the thorns receive that seed? Yes. It left the hand of the sower. If it leaves the hand of the sower and it goes out, it's receiving the seed. We got to make sure that we don't let that stuff that surrounds us choke up the seed. Does that make sense to everyone? And we have to be cautious that when we go and share the word, that we don't get selective out of fear, that we're not wasting our time. We want to make sure that people get it. No, you just sow the seed. Every chance you get, every opportunity you get, you sow the seed. You sow the seed. Remember, it's in the seed form. Seed. If you're living your life by kingdom principles and you understand that and you speak very few words to a person, know that they're not going to understand fully what you've been understanding for a long time because you already been there for a long time. You already had fruit from that seed, then grew up and bore fruit. They're not going to have fruit. Does that make sense to everyone? But that's what we want. We want to see the fruit. We want to see it right immediately. You sowed a seed. What are you talking about? You sowed a seed. You got to trust that the word of God that you sowed was the truth. You knew it would be the truth, and you did what God told you to do, and you get ready and believe that. And then you pray. You pray. What did it say in Mark? That he sows the seed and he goes inside. And at night, while he's asleep, he don't know how it happens, but something happens. And that's how you trust the word of God. Is this helping you? Acts chapter 8, verse 25. Verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoke the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Who's doing that now? Who's doing that now? Follow the chain of understanding. Peter and John. Because remember that when they heard that the Samaritans got it, who'd they call for? Peter and John. So Peter and John's now, but now they're going back to Jerusalem. They're on their way back to Jerusalem. What are they doing? On their way back, they're continuing to do what they was asked to do by God. They were starting back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Many of the villages they preached of the what? Samaritans. So they were reinforcing all of those things, delivering the word of God. Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 4. Verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. Many see that. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. What word are they speaking again? The word about what? About the kingdom of God. And they're going to do it with all confidence. Here's the thing that I think is very discouraging to a lot of people. If you know something well, you're not going to mind getting into the conversation and have confidence that you can speak on those terms. What I see in the church world is the confidence is lacking when it comes to speaking about the kingdom of God. And I believe it's a direct result of one thing. And then we're not well understanding it. We don't understand it well. And you can be in church for a very long time and still not understand it. Because it's going to take a lot of discipline and a lot of study for you to get a hold to it. But once you grab hold to it, it's going to bear fruit in your life. So the seed is struggling. I just want to let you know. The seed is struggling. And it's not that the seed has anything wrong with it. I'm telling you the condition of the seed. This is the message of warning to all of us. The seed is struggling. Not because the seed's bad. We know the seed's not bad. We know the seed is the word of God. We know that the sower sows and he's non-selective. But I'm telling you, in the world today, the seed of the kingdom of God is struggling. And we got to do something about it. And the only way we're going to do something about it is we got to get confident in how to share the gospel of the kingdom. You got to have confidence. So he says, now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant your bondservants that may speak your word with all confidence. So how do you gain confidence? You do what they did. What did they do? They asked. They asked God. They prayed and said, God, we need more confidence. First of all, they had to do one thing. They had to recognize that they lack confidence. And that's not easy. That's not easy to do because we've been in church for a while. We want to be the good saint. We want to be the faithful, and we're strong in the Lord. Listen, before you pray for confidence, you have to recognize and admit that there's a lack of confidence. God, I'm not as confident as I think. You never know. You can gauge how confident you are. Let a situation come up where you have a platform to witness and you don't. Where nobody's, just here it is. And God says, okay, here's your chance. And you don't say a word. That's because you lack confidence. You're concerned that you won't say the right thing. That's why you got to pray, Lord, I need more confidence to spread the word. How many is going to start praying that? I want to pray that. Lord, I want more confidence. I want to know. And we got to get into that and understand the gospel of the kingdom. It's going to be a very big help to us. The more we do that, the stronger you're going to get in your confidence to share, and you're going to do it more often. You know, you won't be delayed in sharing that. You'll do it more often. And these are important, very important principles that we should live by. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Is this helping anybody today? What'd they do? They prayed. If you're lacking confidence to share the gospel of the kingdom, we need to pray and say, God, I need more confidence. I really do. I don't want to just come to church and say, well, I'm in church. They got to make their mind up what they want to do. Every chance we get, we ought to share the gospel of the kingdom. But we ought to do it with confidence. Just because you're faithful in coming to church and you got it, doesn't mean you're spreading the gospel of the kingdom. Do you understand that? That doesn't mean that. The fact that you're doing good, that doesn't mean you're spreading the gospel of the kingdom. It's the chances that we get time and time again to share. And let me tell you, I want help with this. I was going through this last. I said, Lord, I want help with this. I need help. I want to be able to open my mouth when I should. I want to be able to share the gospel of the kingdom when I should. I want to be able to do this. And I want to do it with boldness. But if you lack that, if you lack the confidence, you got to pray. And they, when they prayed, they placed the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So I want to stop right there today, and I want to give you an opportunity to think about these things. I want you to think about how important would it be for you and I as believers in the word of God. We believed and trust the word of God. We're going to go through this, and this, I believe for the next two Sundays we'll be on this kingdom seed. We're going to look at this. We're going to see that invaluable importance of the kingdom. But let me just summarize some of it to you before we pray. The kingdom of God. Jesus said this. He says, there's a lot of things that you're going to go through and you're going to have need of. But he said, take no thought for the things you eat or drink or what you're going to put on. He says, don't you know that our Father knows that you have need of these things? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. I want to ask you this question, and I want us to be honest with ourselves. Do you think that we spend more time dealing with the essential things of life than we do about the kingdom of God? Then we haven't learned that first basic principle as yet. We haven't. He said, don't you know that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. You seek his kingdom and all his righteousness. So I believe that should be a starting point for us. I believe it should be a launching pad that you and I can take this morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go on this expedition. I'm going to work as hard as I can to go through the scripture and find out everything I can about the kingdom of God. And we're going to be doing it here on Sunday. We're going to look at the kingdom of God. The disciples were with Jesus, and they come to Jesus and say, Master, teach us how to pray. When we pray, what should we say? How should we, what should be our posture? Give us an example. And he says, like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about those words. Think about Jesus' tongue. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God that we're preaching, it's not just encouraging words. It's not saying, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. That's great words. But that you're not nearly explaining the kingdom of God to anybody when you say that. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're talking about an event here. Does this make sense to you? We're not talking about telling somebody a real inspirational story. Well, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. He died for your sins and he cares about you. And that's it's all true. And he does. But you didn't share the gospel at all. Do you understand that? He said we should sow the seed of what? The kingdom. Is that part of the kingdom? It is. It has its place in there. But the kingdom is an event. Everybody say that. The kingdom is an event. It's real. It's going to happen. Do you understand that? We're not talking about just encouraging somebody with words. Oh, it's going to be all right, brother. I'm telling you, God loves you. He's on your side. That's all true. And he does. But I want to tell you about an event. One of these days, Jesus will return. Do you understand that? And he will set the kingdom up. And he will rule and reign in that kingdom. It's an event. It's real. It's a place. It's going to happen. That's the gospel. And that's what they were doing. The apostles were doing that. They were saying, this Jesus you heard about that they crucified. You might have been part of that crucifixion. This is what I'm just giving you an example of what it might have sounded like when they were going to Philip. Philip's telling them. I just want you to know, maybe you were part of it. Maybe you were there saying, crucify him, crucify him. But I want to tell you, he rose again from the dead. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. He's doing those things for us. And I want to tell you what I know about him. I know this one thing. I believe that he is the Messiah. He was the long-awaited one, and we killed him. And now he's at the Father waiting for his return. He will come back. He will set up his kingdom, and he will rule and reign and sit on the throne of David, and of his, there will be no end to his government. People in Samaritans, really? We want that. We want to be with the guy who's going to rule and reign. There'll be no end to his government. No end. None at all. No end. Philip's no end to his government. Nobody's going to be over him. Nobody's going to be over him. Is he going to rule and reign? He's going to rule and reign. Can I be with him? Yes. I want him. Both men and women were being baptized into the kingdom. Into the kingdom. Not a feeling. Not I decided I'm going to go over there because it fits really what I like. See, people are trying to find their spot. What about being a part of the kingdom of God? So I hope that you and I can go through this together and we can get very serious about our position as believers on what we do. It's a real, real event that's going to happen. And we have not near enough of preaching about it in the church world today. Very little is talked about it. And it should be the top thing on our list to talk about. We ought to let people know. So listen, how many here want to be in his kingdom and rule and reign with Jesus? He's going to set his kingdom up. Satan's going to be bound up for 1,000 years, and Jesus is going to rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years. Anybody want to be there? Yes. It's up to you and I. We can decide or not. So the seed's sown right now. Every person. I can't be selective on how the seed is sown. I do know one thing. The seed has been sown. All right? Now here's the thing that's going to happen. Either you're going to let the cares of this world choke up the seed. You're going to let fear, uncertainty, all those things start destroying the seed. You're going to let the evil one snatch it away. Satan just rob you. Aren't you tired of being robbed? Some of you have been robbed so much, you just got used to being robbed. So you know, if the first time you see an attack from the enemy, you just throw your hands up and say, here it is. And you know you've been robbed a lot when the bandit's headed straight to you. You just throw the loot to him and he passes you up and gets the next guy. He wasn't even coming after you. You don't want to be in that position. I mean, the moment he goes, boom, boom, you throw the loot. Now, who wants to stand up and say, yeah? Boy, My brother Josh? It had to happen in somebody's life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You had to stand. When you was getting beat up, but you stood and said, I'm going to serve God. And the enemy come to snatch you, say, you're not snatching it from me. You're not taking what I know to be a fact. It's truth. And it doesn't matter if Pastor Jesse's saying it or not. I'm by myself at home. And that's where the enemy, you're by yourself, nobody around. You grab that word and you say, I got this. This is truth. This is the gospel. And I want to make it in the kingdom. You don't let the devil bully you around. And I don't care if the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. What does that have to do with it? It doesn't matter what political party's in power. What in the world does that have to do with it? That's not what I'm looking forward to. I can care less who's the next president of the United States. I need to know more about who's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the one I need to know about. The only thing I can do is push one button. But I can do a whole lot more in the kingdom of God. I can be a sower of the seed. Do you want to impact your society? Do you want to impact people's life? You got to be a sower of the seed and not be selective. So the seed's been sown. And I'm trusting the word of God. And I'm praying for confidence. I'm praying that God will give me the ability to share the gospel like never before. Is that you today? How many want that in your life? Let's stand together.